If jealousy were a fever, then the whole world would be ill. In this week's parasha, we have an introduction to a person called Korach, who was jealous. Now, you can't be friends with someone who wants your life. But at the same time, never hate people who are jealous of you, but respect their jealousy. Why? Because they're people who think that you're even better than them. In this week's parasha, jealousy, an argument leads to a massive disaster. Let's enter the parasha. There was a Jew who was wealthy and smart. He was a Levi, and he was one of those who actually carried the Aron. That's where the tablets were. He came from an important family of Levites, the Kahat. He could have been so great, but he was jealous and had enormous pride. He started up with Moshe and argued publicly with him. He even persuaded others to join him. His name was Korach, and his behavior caused the Jews a lot of harm. Korach's cousin, Elitzafan, had been appointed to be the leader of the Kahat family. Korach was also a member of that family, and he was very upset that he hadn't been chosen to be the leader. He was furious with Moshe for not choosing him, so Korach thought Moshe had decided on his own to make Elitzafan the family leader. He challenged that. He gathered together and persuaded 250 people to join him against Moshe. These were men that were important and respected. They were the heads of the Jewish courts. Most of them came from the Shevet, from the tribe of Reuven. They were upset about Aharon, Moshe's brother, becoming the Kohen Gadol. These men were firstborn and they were supposed to be the Kohanim. But the honor was taken away from them after the sin of the golden calf. Now they wanted to serve in the Mishkan like Aaron and his sons. Three other men, Datan, Aviram, and On ben Pelet, also joined Korach. They were from Shevet Reuven as well. The time was ripe for them to make a rebellion. The Jews had been told that they were going to be in the wilderness for 40 years. Moshe had taken the kingship. Aharon was his brother, was the Kohen Gadol. Miriam was the leader of the ladies, and they said, look, they're keeping it in the family. But of course, they were not keeping it in the family. They had been chosen by God Almighty, and this distressed Moshe a lot. Moshe said, I didn't even take one donkey from the Jewish people. Normally, when a person invites a speaker, so they ask for expenses to be paid, perhaps you give them a certain amount of money, it's a wage as well for their time. Moshe Rabbeinu was in Midian at the time. He didn't even want to become the leader of the Jewish people, but God sent him. And he had all his expenses from his own money. He never spent anything. And yet, Korach was going around the camp, putting out lies about Moshe and saying how untrustworthy he was. This was an attack not just on Moshe, but of course, if you attack Moshe being the prophet of God, that means you're attacking the idea that everything, all the Torah, isn't really from God, and therefore something drastic had to happen. Behind every great man is a great woman. And On ben Pelet, who was joining the rebellion, well, he had an incredible wife. And his wife didn't want him to join the rebellion. And she said, what difference are you going to make? Why are you challenging Moshe? Either Moshe is going to be the teacher and you're going to be the student, or Korach is going to be the teacher and you'll be the student. She was telling him that no matter who's going to win, On ben Pelet would not be the leader. So for him, it's not a battle worth fighting. But he pushed ahead nevertheless. At the time when he was being called to summoned to come to the rebellion, his wife gave him a good meal. She put him basically to sleep. And then she sat outside of the tent and uncovered her hair. So when the guards came to bring him to the rebellion, he didn't. They said, okay, where is On? And he said she was outside. They got embarrassed. They didn't want to embarrass her, that they could see her with her hair uncovered. And they left. And in all the hullabaloo, they forgot about him. On ben Pelet remained asleep while the challenge was going on, and that saved his life. On the other side of the equation, Korach's wife was the opposite. She was always pushing Korach to rebel against Moshe, challenging him and telling him to go the extra mile. In the end, she caused Korach to go down, whereas On ben Pelet's wife caused him to survive. And on this, our rabbis tell us, a person should always choose an Eshet Chayil, a great woman, a woman who's got the wisdom and the ability to see and to help her husband, especially in spiritual matters, and guide the entire family ahead. Korach used the logo, we are all holy, kulam kadoshim. You've gotten too much power. All Jews are holy, not just you, and God is among them. So why are you raising yourself higher than God's people? Why is Aharon higher and holier than other Jews? All of us heard Hashem speak at Har Sinai, so we are all holy. If you took the leadership for yourself, at least we can be the Kohanim. Moshe was appalled, and he knew that there was going to be a bad ending. He didn't want to challenge these people straight away. He wanted to give them time to do teshuvah. So he said that tomorrow there's going to be a big happening. Everybody's going to come. Those that are challenging would come, and they should bring their shovels full of coals and ketoret, the special mix of spices that was used in the Mishkan, and they were going to burn the ketoret on the coals, and only the one whom God would choose would remain alive. That meant that everybody else was risking their lives. Nevertheless, they all came the next morning. In the meantime, Korach wouldn't listen to Moshe, and on the contrary, when Moshe Rabbeinu himself went to seek peace, Datan and Aviram refused to come out. And they said, not only that you haven't taken us to a land flowing of milk and honey, you took us out of a land flowing of milk and honey. Egypt was amazing. What is going on? We're in the middle of the wilderness. And they were challenging him. Behind the scenes, there was something a bit more than meets the eye. You see, the question is asked, if Korach heard that Moshe's warning that by bringing the ketoret he was risking his life, what gave him the confidence to put himself in such danger? Korach had seen in a prophetic vision that the great prophet Shemuel would be a descendant of his. Shemuel would be so great that he would be equal in importance, as it says in Tehillim, to Moshe and Aharon together. Many of Korach's other descendants would also be prophets. Being the ancestor of so many great people made him feel sure that he would be safe. What really happened is that eventually Korach would go down, but his children would do teshuvah. He wasn't able to fully see the full picture. So he was just judging according to now. Right now I can see the great person's going to come for me that's greater than Moshe and Aharon. I can challenge, nothing's going to happen to me. But of course that was wrong. The next morning, Moshe, Aharon, and Korach and his 250 men, together with hundreds of thousands of Jews surrounding them, watching silently, came to watch what would happen. Korach's effort to persuade the Jews that he was right seems to have paid off. Many of the Jews weren't sure anymore that Moshe had been sent by God, that Moshe and the Torah were true. No one stood up even for Moshe. Now was the time that the glory of Hashem appeared. God said to Moshe and Aaron, stand aside away from everyone and I'm going to destroy them in an instant. Moshe and Aaron were going to be the only ones standing, nobody else. But they immediately prayed to God and they said, because of one man's sins, are you going to destroy everyone? Hashem accepted their prayers and Moshe and Aaron had saved the entire Jewish people. Sometimes we don't realize it. The amount of hassle that they had to go through as leaders, they were being challenged, people were silent, but nevertheless, Moshe and Aaron are praying for their defense. That's why they're called Am Moshe V'Aaron, the people of Moshe V'Aaron, because they were in fact reborn because of the prayers of Moshe V'Aaron. How many times do we not realize ourselves that actually great things are happening to us because of the prayers of our parents or grandparents or even great-grandparents praying for the future descendants? We should be the same, always praying for our children, grandchildren, and all descendants. Moshe then spoke to the people and he said that this is how you're going to know that a God sent me to be the leader and Aharon to be the Kohen Gadol. If Korach, Datan, and Aviram die in the same way as normal people, then God didn't send us. But if they're going to die, the following with the earth will open its mouth and swallow them and all their belongings, not just them, but also their belongings, their possessions, and they go down into a pit alive, you will know that Korach and his followers have angered Hashem. The moment that Moshe stopped talking, a miracle happened, exactly how Moshe said. The earth opened, swallowed up Korach, and Datan and Aviram. It was great thunder, and also all their possessions, wherever they were in the camp, if they were in the north or west or east, any of their possessions rolled into the earth, and the earth immediately closed up and covered them. The only ones who remained alive were Korach's children, because they did teshuvah in the last moment. What about the 250 men who joined and they offered the ketoret? God sent a fire that burnt out their souls, killing them instantly. However, their bodies were left untouched by the fire. The only one left alive was Aaron HaKohen. God then commanded Moshe to tell Aaron's son Elazar to gather all these shovels and beat them into thin sheets of copper and use them actually to cover the top and sides of the copper altar. This would be a sign to remind everyone not to act like Korach and his followers who wanted to be Kohanim. Only Aaron and his sons can be Kohanim, and only they are permitted to do the entire holy services in the Mishkan. They were also used to show that they had a little bit of Leshem Shamayim. Their souls were taken, their bodies remained, their shovels were used. They yearned for Kedusha, but they should have done it in the right way. The next day, the people complained to Moshe and they said, "You have killed the people of Hashem." They were complaining, "Why did these people have to die? It was Moshe's fault that they died." Suddenly, a cloud appeared covering the Mishkan and the glory of Hashem appeared again. Moshe and Aaron made their way to the Mishkan, and again God said, "Separate from this gathering, in an instant I will destroy them." Moshe and Aaron fell to the ground immediately and started to pray. A plague then broke out, and many Jews died. Moshe told Aaron, "Quickly take the shovel, fill it with the fiery coals from the Mizbeach, and put Ketoret, the incense, on it, and go quickly to the Jews, and your actions will cause the Jews to be forgiven." Moshe had received, when he went up to Har Sinai, a secret by the angel of death, saying that whenever there is trouble, the ketoret, the incense, is a way that can stop death. It can fight away death. And that's what Aaron did. And immediately the Jews stopped dying. But 14,700 Jews had already lost their lives. The time had come to have a final and real concrete decision. All 12 tribes had princes. Aaron was the prince, so to speak, of the tribe of Levi, and another 11, and they were invited to bring their sticks. They would have these walking staffs into the Mishkan. They brought them into the Mishkan, they would stay there overnight, and the next morning they came and they saw all the staffs had stayed the same, apart from Aaron's staff, which had budded and was producing almonds in front of their own eyes. Everybody saw the miracle, and they witnessed it and understood that Aaron is a real Kohen Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded to take Aaron's stick, and it was placed in the Mishkan for everyone to always see, and eventually it was hidden away before the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. The Torah continues by telling us there are certain limits where people can enter. There are an honorary guard of the actual Mishkan. Every night, 3 Kohanim and 21 Levim stood watch. There were 24 matanot kehuna, gifts given to the Kohanim. These were given to the Kohanim by other Jews. And one of the matanot kehuna that we still give today is the 5 silver coins given to a Kohen at a Pidyon HaBen when a person has a firstborn that isn't born to a Kohen or a Levi, and it's a natural birth, a firstborn baby boy. Then they give these 5 silver coins, and it's a great experience. Next time we're thinking about having an argument with somebody, let's really think carefully. Are we having the argument to better society or to better ourselves? Are we jealous of a person? God has got a certain amount of greatness for each individual. We have what we need, as we say, Potech et yadech masbeh l'chol chai ratzon. God gives every single individual what they need. And Be'ezrat Hashem, with that understanding, then we can create unity and peace. Have a great week.